Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. Inshallah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the modesty and the parables about modesty. Let's inshallah azawajal first and foremost recite salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear brothers, the mother of believers, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she has narrated that once the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on his bed covered with his shawl. In the meantime, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu sought permission from the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter. And the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him permission to enter, and then he fulfilled his need, and thereafter Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu left. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the same state with the shawl on him, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sought permission, and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him permission and fulfilled his needs, and then he also left. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained covered in the shawl in the same state. Then Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu sought permission and entered. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat straight up and said to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, "Take your shawl." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then fulfilled the need of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he also left. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha humbly asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the arrival of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you did not do what you did when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they entered." The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Usman is very modest. If I had granted him permission in the same state, then there was a fear that his need would not have been fulfilled, meaning he would have gone back without saying anything." Allahu Akbar. Such is the modesty of the beloved Ashab, especially Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. "Ya ilahi de hame bhi dawlate sharmuhaya Hazrat Usman Ghani bahaya ke waste. Ameen bijahin nabi jilameen." Yes, he is Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when we take his name, even in the khutbah, وَعَلَى كَامِلِ الْحَيَاءِ وَالْإِيمَانِ, he was perfect in modesty and iman, subhanallah. That is his description. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was brought up by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was so modest that the embodiment of modesty himself, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, respected his modesty, and the innocent angels of Allah Azza wa Jal also felt shy from him. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amir bin Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that on the day of the siege, we were with Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Usman Ghani said, "I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, I never committed fornication during the peace pre-Islamic era of ignorance, nor have I committed after embracing Islam. Instead, after embracing Islam, my modesty has further increased." Subhanallah. Dear brothers, we have just heard a very faith-refreshing parable about the beautiful attribute of modesty of Sayyidina Usman Ghani Zunnurain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now let's listen to some glimpses of his blessed life history. And regarding this, it is mentioned that his name, his actual name is Usman. His appellation is Abu Amr, and his titles are Jami al-Quran, Zunnurain. He, radiallahu anhu, is the third Khalifa among the Khulafa Rashideen, and he married the two beloved daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one after the other. He, radiallahu anhu, resembled Sayyidina Ibrahim and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to a great extent. Some blessed Quranic verses were revealed in his glory. Even angels would feel shy from him. He migrated twice in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was a very famous trader and an extremely generous person. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the good news of being blessed with paradise. He radiallahu anhu reached the age of 82. He was oppressively martyred while he was reciting the glorious Quran in the state of observing fast. Subhanallah, this is a little biographical sketch of the life of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he embraced Islam. He was the early Sahaba who have embraced Islam, subhanallah. And he is one of the four Khulafa Rashideen, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is known for his generosity. And it is mentioned regarding him that he had such concern for the well-being of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that once there was a well in Medina Munawwara, and it was the time of drought, and the owner of that well, he would sell the water by the buckets, the skin, water skin that you would fill after taking extracting the water from the well. And that was the only well that had water, and it was difficult for people to pay for water, a natural resource that it should be available for free otherwise. And Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala who felt the need, he went and offered that man the price for this, the well, and he paid a hefty price for the well, and thereafter he dedicated in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then made the water free for everyone after paying a hefty price for the well, over and above the market value. Subhanallah. There was another occasion where it was a time of drought, and when there is drought, there is no vegetation, and when there is no vegetation, the food sources are scarce, such as grain, wheat, barley, rice, etc. So it was a time of drought. And he had a caravan coming from another country. And when the caravan arrived with camels loaded with grains, there were traders who wanted to purchase it from him. And then their intention was to resell it at a higher price, because when there's scarce, the scarcity of food sources, then, well, the business runs on the basis of supply and demand. The more the demand, the higher the price of the supply. So they wanted to buy it from Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and they offered him double the price. He said, no, I wouldn't sell it to you. They offered him more than that, and Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala still refused. They said, nobody will pay you more than this price what we are paying you. He said, well, my Rabb Azza wa Jal, he will pay me 10 times more, subhanallah, 10 times more the price, Allahu Akbar, 10 times more the value. And then after that, he distributed the entire grains in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, when you are generous in the path of Allah azza wa jal, the generosity, it gives you returns tenfold. And Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala had full conviction in iman that his generosity will yield fruitful results. There were many, many other cases where Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala would just give and give and give in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanallah. Another beautiful fact is that Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was so fond of the recitation of the Holy Quran. Him, subhanallah, his nisbat with the Holy Quran was so close, and he was the one that then followed into the footsteps of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who initiated the compilation of the Holy Quran into a book form. And it was scattered in different pages, and they were collected over time. And after the demise of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were kept safe. And when Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala became the Khalifa, he then Alhamdulillah, arranged the Holy Quran to be gathered and to be compiled in a single mushaf, in a book form. And hence he is known as Jami'ul Quran, the one who gathered the Holy Quran in a book form. And then 7 manuscripts were first hand-printed, and then they were sent to 7 different regions of the Islamic governance, because Islam had reached far corners of the world by that time. Subhanallah. So there would be no ambiguity in the text of the Holy Quran. So each region had a manuscript, master manuscript, that was prepared by Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it was written in Khatte Uthmani, the typeface of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu's writing style. And even till today, that same writing style is preserved when it comes to the typeface and the fonts of the Holy Quran, even in the printed form, that is still taken into consideration, subhanAllah. Now, as we are discussing the contributions of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, I mean, he was so generous that once for a battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the first time, he opened the door of donations. Yes, and he encouraged the Sahaba to donate in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the upliftment of the deen of Islam. And for this expedition, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he brought everything that he had at his house. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he brought half of everything that he owned. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba further, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up. He said 300 camels loaded with their supplies. And at the end, when he pledged, it was the number was less. And then when he actually delivered the goods, it was 950 camels actually that he had delivered, Allahu Akbar, more than he had pledged. And usually what we see is people can pledge maybe 1 million, but when they deliver, it will be a few thousands in most cases. If we take out the average of the pledges that we receive and then the actual donation that is made later on, the actual funds that come in. So Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he was so generous in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he donated generously in the path of Allah azza wa jal. He donated 950 camels loaded with their supplies. And there are many, many other cases and accounts of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu's modesty. Here, let's inshallah azza wa jal ponder that this modesty of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu that we have just learned from this account, the account that we have just narrated, the modesty of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the modesty of the beloved companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum of the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such, and if this is the modesty of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what would be the state of the modesty of the embodiment of modesty himself, who is the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself? Regarding the modesty of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a renowned companion, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has said that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more shy and modest than a maiden in her parda, in her veil. Elaborating on this hadith, a renowned commentator, Mufti Ahmad Al-Khanaimi rahimahullah ta'ala, has said that when a maiden is about to get married, she is made to sit in a corner of the house. It is called sitting the girl in Mayan in Urdu. The girl is very shy at this time. She feels shy with the family members and does not freely talk to anyone. The shyness of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more than this. Modesty is a special secret quality of man. The stronger his faith will be, the more modest he will be. Now, dear brothers, a person usually has to pass through 3 stages in his life. That is, one's childhood, youth, and then old age. In childhood, human nature is attracted to sports and play. Body parts get weak in old age. He suffers from diseases and is less inclined to sins and worships more. Whereas in youth, this is an important stage of life in which the inner desires dominate the human nature. Since at this stage of life, the parts of the body are safe and healthy, the youth being the testimony of youth is crazy, as the term is thrown around, they forget the purpose of life. Instead of spending the precious moments of life in acts that pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, they destroy in the acts of immodesty. Therefore, the ideal lives of the pious saints, rahimahumullah ta'ala, play a worthy role for us to protect the youth from the destructions of immodesty. No matter how hard the nafs and Satan tempted them to commit sins, these holy personalities remained modest even in the prime of their youth, and in return they became deserving of the favors and honors of their acts from the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now let's listen to a faith-refreshing parable of a modest young man. In the blessed era of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a young man who was very pious and used to worship a lot. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would also be surprised at his worship after performing Isha Salah in the masjid. This young man would go to and look after his elderly father. On the way, a beautiful woman would call him towards her, but he would not pay any attention to her and would pass by keeping his gaze lowered. Finally, one day, the young man moved towards her with an evil intention due to a satanic whisper and her call. As he reached the door, he recalled the blessed saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is stated in Surah Al-Araf, verse number 201. Indeed, those who fear get alerted whenever a temptation from the devil troubles them, and they perceive immediately. Upon recalling the blessed verse, his heart was so overpowered with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal that he fell down unconscious. When much time had passed and he did not reach his home, his elderly father went out in search for him. After finding him, with the help of some people, he took him home. As he gained consciousness, his father asked him about the entire incident. Having explained the whole incident, the young man mentioned the blessed ayah. Again, he was overpowered with extreme fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. He screamed loudly and passed away. His ghusl undertaking and burial were carried out in the night. Now in the morning, when this incident was related to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went out to his father to express his condolences, and he told him, "Why did you not inform me in the night? I would have also attended the funeral." Now the elderly father humbly said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, keeping your rest in mind, I did not find it suitable." And he radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said, "Take me to his grave." Having reached there, he recited the following blessed verse of the Holy Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman: "And for one who fears to stand before his Lord are two gardens." The young man said loudly by calling out from inside his grave, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, indeed my Rabb has granted me two paradises." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allahu sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a great lesson that we have learned here. How strong Madani mindset of performing acts of worship and protecting themselves from immodesty the pious people had. Even in the prime of their youth, they used to spend most of their time in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and looking after their parents. These holy personalities used to always be fully aware of satanic tricks. That's why, despite being able to commit sins, they used to protect their gazes and used to protect themselves from acts of immodesty. Remember that Satan is the enemy of Muslims from the very beginning. He tries his best to divert Muslims from the path of righteous people to the path of evil, so that modesty can be removed from the society and shamelessness and immodesty can spread out. Therefore, the wise people should follow these pious predecessors and continue to fight against the accursed Satan. Beware to never be attracted towards the deception of Shaitan. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us all protection from the tricks and the evil of Satan. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Now dear brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden Muslims from obeying Satan. It is hence stated in verses 168 and 169 of Surah Al-Baqarah, translation from Kanzul Iman, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy, for he will only instruct you towards evil and immodesty, and that you fabricate matters concerning Allah, what you do not know. It is stated in a commentary regarding these verses that it is the work of Satan that he calls people towards evil, towards disbelief and polytheism, towards the wrong belief that are associated to Allah Azza wa Jal, or towards declaring those things as haram which Allah Azza wa Jal has declared as halal, and declaring those things as halal which Allah Azza wa Jal has declared as haram. His job is to call people towards evil acts such as lies, backbiting, tale-telling, breaking promises, false accusations, discords, quarrels, jealousy, malice and hatred, etc. Similarly, his job is to call people towards acts of immodesty, songs and music, films and dramas, dancing, unlawful gazes, obscenities, impermissible relations, seeing and touching with bad intentions, fornication, etc. Unfortunately, nowadays amongst them, there are many acts which are committed due to the support or persuasion of family members even. Even the friends will encourage you. Relatives and home environment also makes it easier to indulge in those kinds of vices. When you enter the marketplace, it's filled with those vices, society and offices, everybody is involved in it. Currently, in this advanced age, as we may call it, many examples of immodesty and shamelessness can be found. A father should make his daughter obey parda and veil from strange men. Likewise, a husband should make his wife wear parda from strange men. But unfortunately nowadays, a father himself introduces his unveiling daughter to strange men at wedding ceremonies or any other ceremonies in words like, "Please meet her, she is my daughter." And the husband may be seen saying that, "Oh, this is my wife." Then that stranger, being shameless and immodest, he starts to gaze at her and says, "I'm pleased to meet you." From this behavior of the people, it seems that modesty has gone from the society. Condemning such people, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that there are three people for whom Allah azza wa jal has made paradise haram. The first person is one who always drinks wine. The second is one who is disobedient to his parents, and the third is the youth. Dear brothers, we should make efforts to reform ourselves and our family members, friends, relatives and all Muslims, and we must develop their mindset to observe Shari Parda as per Islamic teachings, because Islam is the religion which is the protector of the honor of women. Therefore, she has been assigned the responsibility of providing children with good education and upbringing along with housekeeping at home. It is stated, translation from Kanzul Iman, "And remain in your houses and do not stay unveiled like the unveiling of the former days of ignorance." At another place it is mentioned, and translation from Kanzul Iman is, "And command the Muslim women to keep their gaze low and to protect their chastity, and not to reveal their adornment except what is itself apparent, and to keep putting their head coverings over their bosoms and not to reveal their adornment." Women play a very important role in spoiling or reforming the society, making or breaking it. For example, if she is righteous, pious and modest herself, then these attributes will transfer to her generations. Therefore, despite doing impermissible fashions and unnecessarily going to shopping centers, markets, co-entertainment places, co-educational institutes and places of immodesty, women should form the habit of staying in their homes by taking a lesson from the pure life history and character of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen and the daughters of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially the Lady of Paradise, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala. These are those holy personalities who were extremely modest by virtue of the company of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially the modesty of the beloved daughter, the Lady of Paradise of the And she is certainly admirable and worthy to be followed. Inshallah Azawajal, for now we are going to listen to a beautiful kalam. And when we are back, Inshallah Azawajal, we will Inshallah introduce some of the beautiful qualities of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Inshallah Azawajal, listen to the kalam and stay tuned with Madani channel. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
कुछ ऐसा कर दे मेरे गिर्द गार आँखों में हमेशा नाश रहे रूह ये यार आँखों में बसर के साथ बसीरत بھی خوب روشن ہو لگاؤں خاک قدم بار بار آنکھوں میں انہیں نہ دیکھا تو کس کام کی ہیں یہ آنکھیں کام کی ہیں یہ آنکھیں کہ دیکھنے کی ہے ساری بہار آنکھوں میں کہ دیکھنے کی ہے ساری بہار آنکھوں میں کچھ ایسا کر دے میرے گرد گار آنکھوں میں ہمیشہ نقش رہے روح یار آنکھوں میں سرور و نور ہو دل میں بہار آنکھوں میں جو خواب میں کبھی آئے نگار آنکھوں میں وہ نور دے میرے پروردگار آنکھوں میں وہ نور دے میرے پروردگار آنکھوں میں کہ جلوہ گر رہے رخ کی بہار آنکھوں میں کہ جلوہ گر رہے رخ کی بہار آنکھوں میں کچھ ایسا کر دے میرے گرد گار آنکھوں میں ہمیشہ نقش رہے یار آنکھوں میں نظر میں کیسے سمائیں گے پھول جنت کے کہ بس چکے ہیں مدینے کے خار آنکھوں میں عجب نہیں کہ لکھا لو کا نظر آئے عجب نہیں کہ لکھا لوح کا نظر آئے جو نقش پا کا لگاؤں غبار آنکھوں میں جو نقش پا لگاؤں غبار آنکھوں میں کچھ ایسا کر شناس رہے روح یار آنکھوں میں، وہ سبز سبز نظر آ رہا ہے گنبد سبز، قرار آ گیا یوں بے قرار آنکھوں میں، یہ دل تڑپ کے کہیں آنکھوں میں نہ جائے، یہ دل تڑپ کے کہیں آنکھوں میں نہ آ جائے، کہ پھر رہا ہے کسی کا مزار آنکھوں میں، کہ پھر رہا ہے کسی کا مزار آنکھوں میں، کچھ ایسا کرد میرے گردگار آنکھوں میں، ہمیشہ نقش رہے روح یار آنکھوں میں، فرشتوں پوچھتے ہو مجھ سے کس کی امت ہو، لو دیکھ لو یہ ہے تصویر یار آنکھوں میں، پیا ہے جام محبت جو آپ نے نوری، پیا ہے جام محبت جو آپ نے ہمیشہ اس کا رہے گا خمار آنکھوں میں، ہمیشہ اس کا رہے گا خمار آنکھوں میں، کچھ ایسا کرد میرے گردگار آنکھوں میں، نقش رہے روح یار آنکھوں میں.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ, what a wonderful kalam. And now we are back and we were discussing the parables about modesty, especially the modesty of the pious predecessors. We have related the account of Sayyidina Uthman Zunnurain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the modesty of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the modesty of the pious predecessors, the young man, how modest he was. And subhanallah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to pay tribute and to read Fatiha over his grave to make salam. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that he will get to paradise, and he recited the Quranic verse that for those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal, there is two paradises for them. And he said, he spoke from inside the grave that yes, Allah Azza wa Jal has granted me two paradises, subhanallah. And now we are coming to, as we have discussed just before we went for the kalam, that we will relate some accounts of the Lady of Paradise, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the apparent demise of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Lady of Paradise, the princess of both the worlds, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, was so overtaken by the grief of being away and being separated from the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from her beloved father, that she radiallahu ta'ala anha never smiled after that. She was only seen smiling once before she passed away. And there is a report of that one occasion. All her life, the Lady of Paradise, she concealed herself from the eyes of strange men But she was worried lest people see her shrouded body after her demise. She didn't even want that to happen. So on one occasion, Sayyida Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that in Ethiopia, I saw people tying branches of trees together to make a type of bier for the deceased, and then it would be covered with a cloth. She then had some branches of date trees brought and joined them together and covered them with a cloth to show it to the Lady of Paradise, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she became very happy and she smiled. This is the only instance of anyone witnessing her smile after the apparent demise of the greatest and holiest Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody has ever seen such a unique sight of modesty as held by Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, despite the fact that she felt sad about her beloved father, the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Throughout her life after his blessed demise, she remained modest even until her blessed demise. She remained worried only for this, lest anyone's gaze falls on her shroud after her blessed demise. Likewise, there is a parable of a blessed female companion, Sayyida Umm Khalad, the blessed woman who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state of iman, having faith, and passed away in the very same state of having iman. Her son was martyred in a battle. In order to ask about him, she went to see the noble Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a veil on her face. Upon seeing her, someone said, "Surprisingly, even now you are wearing a veil." She replied, "I have certainly lost a son, but not my modesty." Allah, what a wonderful response. Have you seen the parda of Sayyida Umm Khalad radiallahu ta'ala anha? She retained her parda even after the martyrdom of her son. Unfortunately, at present, the parda is considered to be a burden, ma'azallah, in our society due to being impressed by Western culture. Remember that Satan wants to unveil the woman by any means in order to destroy her modesty in public. It wants men to commit the sin of unlawful gazing so that Allah Azza wa Jal can be displeased with them and they deserve the punishment of hell. It is because of this that the followers of Satan first of all raised this slogan that men and women should both work together. The curse of this slogan appears like this, that women who were safe inside their homes, they came out unveiling, and then after some time this sentiment was also heard that ladies first. That is, first of all, women were made to stand with men shoulder to shoulder, and then they were made to go one step ahead of men. Our ladies started thinking that by this sentence, by certain gestures, they are being given respect in the society. However, the aim of this is to use their beauty for gaining financial benefits by fooling them. It is very clearly shown on fashion shows, billboards, advertisements, and many, many other places which are not worthy of mentioning. Well, when you go to a desk, the first person you see, the receptionist, is almost always a female. Why? She is the pretty face there to attract people. Similarly, they are being used in these manners. Similarly, in the offices, banks, hospitals, in short, wherever we go, women are seen working there. Modern girls are especially appointed at receptions so that people's attention can be attracted and business can thrive. Even shaking hands with young women is not considered to be bad nowadays. Let's inshallah azawajal listen to the punishment of the hereafter for the immodest and shameless people who shake hands with strange women. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The person who shakes hands with a strange woman will appear on the day of judgment in such a condition that his hand will be tied with his neck through a chain of fire." Allah. Those women who work but do not observe the requirements of parda in different organizations, in different workplaces, and those who go to markets and entertainment places wearing see-through and thin clothing, further giving rise to shamelessness and immodesty. Due to this unveiling, unlawful gazes are becoming widespread among men. Nowadays, our youth are becoming habitual of unlawful gazes. For this, dirty purpose. They wander in the street, in the markets, shopping centers, places of entertainment, schools, colleges, in short, wherever unveiling women are found, they commit the sin of a lot of unlawful gazes and destroy their worldly life and the life of the hereafter. Remember, to look at a woman with a dirty gaze is not a humane act, but it is an act of Satan. Now let's listen to three blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the condemnation of unlawful gazes. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, "Al-mar'atu 'awratun fa idha kharajat istashrafaha ash-shaytan." A woman is an awra, something to be concealed. When she goes out, the devil stays at her. And then in the second hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Zina al-'ayni an-nazru." The fornication of the eyes is to see, is to look. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that the gaze is one of the poison-tipped arrows of the devil. If someone avoids it whilst fearing me, then I will grant him such faith, such iman, that he shall feel its sweetness in his heart. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated in his book Minhajul Abidin that Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam has narrated that protect yourself from unlawful gazes because it sows the seed of lust in the heart. Then the lust makes the person who gazes unlawfully suffer from fitna and mischief. Now, unlawful gazes has been strongly condemned in the blessed hadith. Therefore, we should repent of this evil habit and try to give it up. Otherwise, remember, unlawful gazes destroys a person. Due to this, a person not only displeases Allah Azza wa Jal, but his heart and mind are also controlled by Satan all the time. He is overpowered by strange restlessness and internal desires and thoughts. The person further starts committing deadly sins in order to satisfy their nafs. Now let's listen to further parables of modesty and about protecting our gaze. It's been narrated that Sayyidina Aswad bin Kulsum rahimahullah ta'ala was a very modest and pious young man. When walking, his gaze used to be lowered in a way that even he would not know the person who used to pass by him. At that time, the walls of the house were not so high. And once he was passing by houses where a woman asked other women, "Hurry up, get into the house, a young man is coming." Upon hearing this, the other woman said, "Oh dear, he is Sayyidina Aswad bin Kulsum rahimahullah ta'ala. His gaze does not rise from the ground. Then how will he fix his gaze on a strange woman?" Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Majma' rahimahullah once looked up and his gaze unintentionally fell on a woman on the roof. He immediately lowered his gaze and felt so ashamed that he vowed to never look up again. Allahu Akbar. I have met a great alim-e-deen in my time and I was blessed to have attended his janazah as well. A great alim-e-deen, Sufi Nizamuddin Sahib Qibla rahimahullah ta'ala. And we were at the Jamia at that time. And he was Shaykhul Hadith at that Jamia. And he was such a pious personality that at nights when we would sleep and we were in the same building, and in the middle of the night, very often we would hear him coming out of his room and filling his jug for the water of wudu, making wudu, and then he would obviously read his tahajjud salah. And it was known about him that for many, many years he hasn't seen the sky. Such was his modesty, Allahu Akbar. He would always keep his gaze lowered. A great alim-e-deen, a great Sufi, a great ascetic person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us modesty through the sadaqah of these modest, pious predecessors. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Shamefulness and modesty. the attributes that one should have. Modesty is the attribute to be had. But unfortunately, nowadays, the new styles of sins have destroyed the modesty. Shame and modesty, especially, is being lost. The friendship between young boys and girls in the name of studying together, co-education institutes for higher education, is destroying the fabric of our society, is destroying faith. The hereafter is being destroyed by making contact with each other in many types of non-shari manners through cell phones and internet and social media. Of course, now it is not confined only to talking to each other on the cell phones, but now pictures of each other also being taken and shared. Now, ma'azallah, songs and music are heard with great amusement on many occasions, such as on Eid, on Independence Day, sometimes by imitating non-Muslims in the name of Valentine's Day, sometimes in the name of April Fool, sometimes in the names of other different events and sports. Even in the name of children's birthdays, parties, it means that shamelessness and immodesty are in full swing, ma'azallah. Unveiling women wear makeup and thus invite people to intentionally gaze at them. Now, whether we travel by bus or train or by coach or aeroplane, it has become extremely difficult to stay safe from the sights of shamelessness and immodesty. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect our faith and bless us with Qufl Madina of the tongue, eyes, ears and other body parts as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi. Ameen. Dear brothers, we have listened to so many parables related to modesty of our pious predecessors. And our pious predecessors were very shy and modest. If their gaze ever fell on a woman unexpectedly, they would immediately lower their gaze and repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is so unfortunate that nowadays there are a large number of Muslims who follow the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and arrange the ijtima'at for the Isali Thawab. But there are very few Muslims who try to act upon their blessed conduct, protect their sight and are embodiments of modesty. There are very few Muslims who think that Allah Azza wa Jal is seeing, the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is seeing. There are very few of the Muslims who have the fear of the difficult time of the hereafter. There are very few of us who protect themselves from sins by keeping in mind the punishments in the hereafter. And most of all, there are extremely few Muslims and far in between who have the mindset of protecting their gazes. At present, His Eminence, Amir al-Sunnat, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sattar Qadri Radhawi Ziyai Hafizahullah Ta'ala himself, not only does he act upon the blessed life of the pious predecessors, but he also develops the Madani mindset of his family members, relatives, friends and disciples to have the great fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, to become modest and to protect their gazes by persuading them to follow these pious personalities. Once, before returning to Babul Madina Karachi from Arab Emirates, regarding protecting the gaze, Amir al-Sunnat Dawud Barakat Mulalia sent an email to his elder son, the successor, Maulana Al-Hajj Abu Usaid Ubaid Raza At-Tari Madani Hafizahullah Ta'ala. He emailed him a few parts, a letter, and there are some excerpts that we, inshallah, will narrate to you. He wrote in the email that my departure is in the middle of the night of Thursday and Friday at 12 a.m. through PIA. And inshallah azza wa jal, my flight will land in Babul Madina Karachi airport at 3 a.m. Since the airport gives a modern look of the women observing no veil, so I incline to this idea that I may not ask anyone to come to the airport to receive me, as they would not be able to safeguard their gazes and I might face the accountability of sins against this act on the Day of Judgment, as this may be the situation, that when you were aware of the destructive atmosphere of the airport and knew that no one would be able to observe Qufl-e Madina, the spiritual lock of the eyes, to lower their gaze, why did you gather the people at the airport to receive the pleasure of your own nafs and ego? Alas, I am helpless. I can't face the accountability, he said. Repeatedly, I have sought forgiveness of my sins. Also, I seek forgiveness, making you a witness. Pray for me that Allah Azza wa Jal may grant me firmness and determination. However, security is our compulsion. So only guards and drivers may arrive, but they should also wait in the car park. Dear brothers, have you just witnessed how sensitive His Eminence Shaykh Tariqat, the Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, is about safeguarding the gaze that in view of the indecent atmosphere, he perceived the lovers of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to arrive and receive him at the airport. Furthermore, he informed them about the reason that it is quite impossible to protect the gaze at such places. The area visit for calling towards righteousness is one of the 12 Madani activities for the purpose of seeking the blessings of sadaqah, of the modesty and decency of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, and developing the mindset of getting rid of impermissible practices and customs. Associate yourself with the Madani environment of Da'at Islami and strive hard to take part in 12 Madani activities for calling people towards righteousness, as enjoining good and forbidding evil is that noble act which is listed in the kinds of struggle, spiritual struggle that one makes. Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers, inshallah azawajal, for now we have a few minutes and we got a wonderful Madani pearls of Nasiha. Let's inshallah azawajal listen to the Nasiha and thereafter we'll be back and continue towards the conclusion of today's episode. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's easy to complain about society. It's harder to be a light within society. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he states, Inna minan nasi nasan mafatiha lil khayr maghaliq lil shar. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam states that indeed amongst the people there are those who are keys to goodness and locks to evil. Be someone who spreads hope, not fear. Someone who brings peace, not conflict and difficulty. Someone who encourages and supports others rather than breaking them down. I think we already have too many of those. This world, it has enough darkness. The Sunnah teaches us to be light, to be a candle. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a candle. He will bring people from the darkness to light. Be a candle, not a critic. Whatever you do, try to be a key to goodness. Try to be a lock to evil. Whether it's your day-to-day work, whether it's amongst your colleagues, amongst your friends, amongst your family, online, offline, whatever the situation, we are always being watched. Every single action we perform is being written. So think of it like this. Let's become a light for our societies. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Welcome back to your viewers. SubhanAllah, we were listening to the Nasiha from our brother Shahbaz Madani Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, all the way from the UK. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him well. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. My brothers, as we come towards the conclusion of our today's episode, in this sinful era, while the majority of people are engaged in decent and shameless act, vulgar and indecent talks have also deepened its roots in our society and have become increasingly widespread, that hardly any gathering is immune from this danger. When a few friends get together, their fun and enjoyment leads towards indecent, shameless and vulgar discussions. At such a time, we need to adopt the sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remember the modesty of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah azza wa jal, through following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make us modest. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islamic better.
Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.